Let's continue our teaching again, the work of Christ. What did Christ do for us? You know, let me just share this testimony briefly. I told you I've been away for some time, and I spoke for a number of days where I went. At the end of the day, this was the testimony I left with. I was with, well, the main hosts, all right, that people that invited me. So when they are home in the evening, they have some of our friends. And the lady, you know, the man and his wife, the lady said to me that she saw one of the fellow organizers earlier in the day. And said to her, "Say, my sister, the fear level has gone down. As a result of the teachings, that the fear level has gone down. That is, you shall know the truth. And that truth that you have come to know will make you free." When I left the place, I said, for me, that's my testimony. I said things that were radically different from what they had been hearing. And somebody came and said, "New light." And they were all very glad. And they said, "The fear level has gone down." Now, the word of God, that's what it does. It liberates people. A lot of people, especially Africans, I don't know about Asians, you know I'm not an Asian. Especially Nigerians, they're in bondage because of wrong beliefs, which is a result of wrong teachings. Are you getting my point? And you owe yourself a duty to get the truth, because when you don't have the truth, you are in bondage. You dream a small dream, it becomes a prayer point. They say, if you are sleeping, swimming in your dream, come forward for deliverance. It's unnecessary. No demon can possess me and make me swim in my dreams. Because I had to cross the Atlantic with a portion of it to get to the place where I went to go and preach. I told them simply, I said, "How can I cross this amount of water and not dream of sleeping, of a sleep of, what dream of, what, how do they say? Dream of swimming one night. I should. Not because there's any demon worrying me. It's simply because I came through the Atlantic to get here on a boat." You hear what I'm saying? Deliverance, it comes from knowledge. It's not from the laying on of hands, primarily for Christians. I'm not saying there are never occasions in which somebody is possessed of an evil spirit and has to be cast out. We've seen that in the scriptures. But that you have a few problems does not mean you need ancestral spirits in your village removed. Let me say it again. Jesus, and I said last time, he paid with his blood to deliver you from the influence of such ancestral curses. Say, "Pastor, but I still have problems." Who doesn't have problems? You have problems simply mean you need to have them solved. That's all. There's not a sign that you are cursed. He said, "A righteous man fails 7 times. I like the fact that he said, "A righteous man." Don't forget that. Let's get into today's teaching. So we've been talking about the work of Christ. This is part of everything anyway. Let me just take 2 or 3 texts. So I'll use that to commence what I want to say today. We have been saying many things that Jesus did for us. Let me try not to review them now so as to save time. Those who are hearing it here that's on this particular message for the first time should just know that there are about 5 or 6 preceding this one. Today, let's continue the teaching by reading from the book of Isaiah chapter 53. Then we are going to look at something from the book of Revelations. And there's 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to look at all of these. In fact, let's start from that. Okay, let's just start from Isaiah chapter 53. I'm going to read most of it. And as usual, when I have to read so much, I may speed up a bit so as to save our time, especially since I came late today and caused us to start the teaching rather late. From verse 1, it said, "Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" That is, if you want the arm of the Lord to be revealed in your life, then you must be careful to know and accept the message. And I said it last time when I was teaching here, that what do you need to do to make all these things a reality in your life? It is simple. As you are hearing it, accept it. That's what it means. In answer in verse 2, it was describing Jesus Christ. This was a prophetic portion of the Bible about him. "For he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, no appearance that we should be attracted to him. Now, these were the problems. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised and we did not esteem him. Now, what was happening is in verse 4, surely our griefs he himself bore. That is, the Bible says he was a man, verse 3, of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Verse 4 explained why. He said it was because he was carrying our griefs, and our sorrows he carried. Yet, because we do not understand, we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. That is, we thought he had done something wrong, therefore God was punishing him. He said the truth, actually, verse 5, is that he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed. He said, before now, what happened? All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. And this was how it manifested. That is the falling of the iniquity of all of us upon him. Verse 7 says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. That is, he did not defend himself. That's what he was saying. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people to whom the stroke was due. Now, get that point. That is, the stroke, the punishment that Jesus experienced was due to you and it was due to me. He said his grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. This is to emphasize again that none of the things that happened to him happened because of his own sin. He said, but this was how it happened. The Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. Remember, as a man acquainted with grief. He said, if he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring, he will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. Now let us read the last verse. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great. Please notice this one. We are going to talk about it later. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. I told you I was going to read essentially the whole of chapter 53, and I have done that. Now, please bear that in mind. Let me read one or two other portions, and then I'll kick off with my teaching. Quickly open to, now, we're not going to read this, but if you refer to the book of Matthew chapter 8, you will see that this one was referred to when he was healing the people. Now, there's another one I want us to read, and then I will begin to speak. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. There's just one I want to bring out from there. Now, many things Paul was saying, all right, trying to just introduce his message to the Corinthians in this second epistle. He now said to them in verse 20, for as many as are the promises of God, in him they are yes. Therefore also, through him is our amen, that is to those promises, to the glory of God through us. Now, please, that's just what I want to bring up from there. The fact that God had promises, and those promises are only activated, all right, in Jesus Christ. We must understand that. You see what, if you read the book of Hebrews, it explained that no covenant is of effect until the death of the testator. Now, what I was saying simply is that when men, because if you look at it, you think that, how can you say covenant can't be of effect until the people have died? But that's not what it was saying. When they want to make a covenant and they have an animal, like as a token of the covenant, it's like, it's when you slay that animal, all right, and it dies and the blood is shed, that the covenant takes effect. It commences at that point. So what it was saying essentially is this, that Jesus was that sacrificial lamb, and until he died, the covenant that God said he was going to have with the people did not take effect. Now, just bear these things in mind, and I'll now begin to teach. Now, we have been talking about these things about the work of Christ, and it's so crucial for us Christians for us to understand what it is that Jesus came to do for us. And we're at this particular point. Last time I explained the fact that he has purchased us, and that redemption is a legal thing. That is, we may have belonged somewhere before, but we don't belong there anymore because Jesus paid. Let me say something quickly again, which I've said before, and that's the fact that if God releases a word, if he releases a blessing, it is possible for it to not have any effect, either in the world generally or in the lives of individuals. And it's not because God lied, it is because the word must be activated by faith. Are you getting my point? That is, if God says, everybody from now on will be living to be the age of 100, the next day, 50 people will die in hospital. One will be 40, that one will be 12, one will be 70. You know, different ages. Nah, but God said that everybody will live to be 100. What is going on? That's what you're going to wonder. You know, when God speaks, you know what he expects? Each man, each woman will hear it and say, amen. And once you say the amen, that word is suddenly, you know, downloaded from the remote server. Are you getting my point? To your own local disk. Are you getting my point? We can go on the internet and we are browsing. Promises here, promises there. And they are not on our computers. The amen in the realm of the spirit, click to download is an amen. Are you getting what I'm saying? Once you click to download by saying amen, by accepting that which is on the remote server, it is downloaded into your own system. So the fact that God has said something is not all there is to it. It is that I must know what he said, and I must bring that thing into my life actively by my faith. That's what it is. We must never forget that. Now, let me explain something. I know we read a number of scriptures. I want to try and put things in order. Now, first, let's talk about this. But this one I feel like starting with. The promises of God. The last one we read. I hope we'll be able to get to the commentary on Isaiah chapter 53. Now, from the beginning, God began to give promises. From the very beginning, after the fall, he spoke a word. He said, the seed of the woman will bruise your head, speaking to the serpent, and then you will strike at his heel. And then if you read through the whole of the experience he had with Abraham and people like him, he kept on giving promises. All right? Your seed will inherit the nations. You know, stuff like that. All right? In your seed, you know, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Now, those are promises. You get onto the book of Psalms, it's full. It's plenty. It's all over the place. You get onto the prophets, and let me just correct this for those who may not know it. If you read a lot of, or you still read a lot of books of, by people of the word of faith, there's a mistake we made for a very long time. I was corrected like 97 when I went to hear a preacher preach somewhere, and it was such a correction. They said that the Old Testament was written to the Jews, right? Have you heard that before? And that the New Testament is what was written to Christians. Therefore, you should spend more of your time reading the New Testament rather than the Old. Let me tell you the truth. It is not like that. It is not like that. If you read our last magazine, it's right there when you are going to pick a copy again. There was one article there about the Rosetta Stone. And I explained the fact that the Rosetta Stone, of course, the concept is that is a way by which, let me just summarize it, you decode, when they use the expression in English language now, Rosetta Stone, to mean the decoding method for something that was encoded. The reason it was because they didn't know how to interpret the Egyptian hieroglyphics until they found a particular stone that the same things were written on different sides in different languages. And one of those languages was the Egyptian hieroglyphics, And then the other one was Greek that they all knew, or the different demotic or something. So people read the one they knew and used that one to interpret the one they did not know. Are you getting my point? So I explained there that, you see, the New Testament is the Rosetta Stone for the Old Testament. The so-called Old Testament was not written to the Jews. Are you getting my point? It was written to mankind. But the Jews, the Bible said they were custodians. So the prophecies, that's what I keep on telling people. Those who don't look at this well, they tell you that, you see, God said, blessed are those who pray for Jerusalem. So everybody turn towards the Middle East and start praying. Peace be upon Jerusalem. It's a promise which the prophets, all right, wrote and directed at. That's the way God gave it to them, all right? The Jewish nation. But that promise actually is for everybody. Are you getting my point? Now, they were able to tap a bit into it because of their laws, of the sacrifices under the Mosaic covenant. But the fullness of the promise of God was actually for everybody. And they are not fully in effect until Jesus Christ comes. So when Jesus came, are you getting my point? He now brought that promise to light again, this time around, for everybody. So Paul explained that this is the mystery that was hidden, all right, from ages past. And what's that mystery? That Christ in you is the way by which you get into the glory of God. So once you are in Christ, there is no promise that any Jew have that you don't have an equivalent. Or in fact, this is somebody, both of you are laying claim to the same thing. So when you hear, rejoice Jerusalem, you also turn around, rejoice Banky's house. I don't know whether I get my point. Are you following what I'm saying? When you see, strangers will build your walls. All right? Your children will return from here and there. It's the same thing for me as an individual. For anything I place my hand to do. That's why we read that 2 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 20 where Paul said, all the promises of God. I like the way King James says it. They are yeah and amen in him. What that means is that they are confirmed only in Christ Jesus. You know, I watch TV, I read books, and I hear people say that God promised the nation of Israel. Then I just shake my head. And the same nation of Israel has not yet believed. You are telling me that that scripture is a lie, that the promises of God are now confirmed outside Jesus Christ. Let me say this to you direct. You are fooling yourself. If you get up and say, if I support a Jew, God will bless me, is a lie. Because that promise you are hanging on is only confirmed in Christ Jesus. And if anybody sticks with the name Jew today, is an unbeliever. People say, don't say things like this. So this is what Hitler used to say. I didn't know Hitler. He's not my friend. And people can wrest the truth to their own destruction. I am just saying, am I saying Jews are bad people? Did I say so? No, I'm saying we all need to believe in Christ. And if you are holding, you are looking forward, all right, to having the promises of God established in your life, it's only confirmed in Christ Jesus. That's what I'm saying. That you lie against the blood of Jesus. You lie against the truth. When you tell me that the promises of God, you can download them, appropriate them, even though you deny that Jesus is the Son of God. I have a problem with that. No real Christian preacher should ever open his or her mouth and make that statement. I told you once, I heard a preacher actually say to me, you can be saved if you're a Jew and you obey all the laws of Moses accurately. I looked at the man, I said, I don't believe you said that. What you are saying is you are ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is no longer the power of God unto salvation for Jews also. You are saying it's the power of God unto salvation for Gentiles. But as for Jews, Moses still exists for them. Let me say something to you in case you did not know it. That era, that dispensation was ended deliberately at a point in time. And the Bible said it like this, he took away the first, that he might establish the second. It is not the first is okay for those who can handle it. But we brought the second for those who can handle the first. He said he took away the first that he might establish the second. the first has been taken away. Listen, everything God did in Judaism was brought to a conclusion, to a head in Christ Jesus. As soon as Jesus came out of that place, you say some things people don't understand. Let me say this to you. It won't be popular in America, and really I don't care. I found out, these days I find out every day, all right? I found out that God raised people like me to tell the truth, and I'm putting myself at risk if I refuse to. The religion called Judaism is under a curse. That's the truth. I will say it boldly. That religion called Judaism is under a curse. Let me explain something to you. Christians don't understand this. Every time the Spirit of God departs, evil spirits replace. Once the Holy Spirit left Saul, an evil spirit had to inhabit his head. Listen, once the glory departs from a place, you also leave that place. Once the glory departs, you move. It is a sin against Christ, and you hear them talking about TBD, exalt rabbis, make it look like they have a spirituality that the Babalawo did not have. You cannot attack the scripture on the premise of the fact that Jesus is not the Son of God, and there will be sense in your head. It's not possible. He said, you search the scriptures, thinking that in them you have eternal life, but you will not come to me. Are you getting my point? And when he said that, it was an indictment. So it's very funny. This is when I see Christians say, you see, some of my brethren will put a hand on somebody. This is my brother. Listen, if you can put your hand on the shoulder of a rabbi, I can also put my hand on the shoulder of an Islamic cleric and say he's my brother. Both of them are descendants of Abraham. Both of them are unbelievers. But you see what my American brethren do. And Nigerians buy it also. A lot of preachers. They say, we're not sending money to the Jewish nation because it's a covenant with God. Listen, anybody who says Jesus is not the Son of God has the spirit of the Antichrist. Either you believe this is or you don't. What did Jesus come to do? He came to ensure that there's no longer any division between Jews and Gentiles. I'm going somewhere with all of these things. Paul said something clearly. He said to the nation of Israel was committed the oracles of God. That is, hold it and keep it for me. And when Peter was going to comment on it, he said something that these were things that these men sought to look into. But the Spirit of Christ that was in them said to them, it is not for your time. So when Isaiah was prophesying, Isaiah said, what am I talking about? He said, just prophesy and die in peace. That another time will come when these things will make sense. And that was a confusion when the Jews read it and thought it was for their time. So they will read about the Messiah. And they will interpret the Messiah's character and nature and assignment in the light of their present troubles. So what's our present trouble? We are captives of a Gentile nation. So what would the Messiah come to do? He will come to break the captivity. That was why they crucified the Messiah. I'm coming to something of these things. What did Jesus come to do? So when you see all those promises, it shall be well with the righteous. No evil shall befall you. Neither will any plague come near your dwelling place. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress and my God. You keep on hearing those things. Unto you that fear his name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And you keep hearing all these promises. The Bible says, people read them, they were of no effect because there had not yet been the death of the testator. Are you following what I'm saying? So what did Jesus come to do? That's what I'm bringing up today. He came to ensure that every promise you read in the Bible is effective in your life. So don't be deceived by when you see, rejoice Jerusalem. Your name is Jerusalem too. So when they say, I'm reading my Bible, they say, rejoice Jerusalem. I start rejoicing. Because it's a promise hanging in the air. Confirmed only in Christ Jesus for those who will believe in him. You hear me quote all the time. Isaiah 66 verse 12. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river. And the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Someone say, was he talking to you? Let us see. It's a promise. Is activated by faith. It is confirmed in Christ Jesus. You know, when I watch TV sometimes and Christians are supposedly preaching, I shake my head. They speak about rabbis, modern day rabbis, as if the Holy Ghost dwells with them. And anything they say, all right, is a modern day interpretation of the oracles of God. I come to tell you again today, anyone who handles the scripture on one premise that Jesus is not the Son of God can never, ever interpret anything written therein, because those things were spoken by the Spirit of Christ. So next time you see that somebody is trying to say, one rabbi, Allah Yeshua, Allah Muhammad, and this one said this. Just say, so did the Sheikh in Kaduna say too. All of them have the same amount of insight into the things of God. Yes. Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Rashid Ibn Battuta. He has as much insight into the things of God as Rabbi Yeshua Bin Amin and whatever it is. Why? Both of them have one thing in common. They say Jesus is not the Son of God. And that is a blindness. That is what makes it impossible to interpret the scriptures. That is why the prophecies of God will not make sense in their lives. My message to you today is this. When you pick the scriptures and you find promises in there, know that they have been paid for and caused to be of effect in your life by the blood of Jesus. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? That's the main thing I came to say today about the work of Christ. So when we read the scriptures, you know, there was something I've taught here many times, and I taught it again this place I went to, because Christians must understand it. They say, when you want to prosper, you will give. You see, I have a problem with that thing, and you know. I believe in giving. I believe that every Christian must be a generous giver. I believe that any Christian that is not a generous giver is a stupid boy, is a stupid girl. Amen? Amen. That the fellow is hurting himself or hurting herself. Because you are walking out of faith, actually. It's a sign of your faithlessness. You don't believe in God. How can the widow of Zarephath claim she believed the word of Elijah and not part with that meal? Her parting with that meal was not a seed, so to say. It was a sign that she believed what the man said. It was not a deliberate act. God, let me give you something so that you multiply the food back. No. It was that God has sent me to say to you, that food is not going to finish. Remember the promises of God, no be compulsion. It's not compulsory. You accept or you reject. So, to receive the promise, she had to what? Accept. And the sign that she accepted was that the man who brought it said, look, the food no go finish. Give me chop. If you gave him, you believe that it won't finish. Because it was just enough for two people. If you refuse to give him, you are saying a bird in hand. Which is total unbelief. And therefore, Elijah would have had to turn around and taken his peace away with him. I said to you before, peace is not just absence of troubles. Peace is a tangible force. That's why you can give it and you can take it. You are following what I'm saying? So, That's what I say all the time when I say that. I don't believe that if you want to prosper, you will sow a seed. It's irrelevant nonsense. Hey, forget that one. It's good for children. Use it to teach children spirituality. You know, like you tell a child, if you tell a lie, your heart will become black. I've seen all kinds of hearts. They're all the same color. But you tell a child that to help him to understand. So maybe it was okay for a particular level of spirit, Christianity to also be telling ourselves those kind of stories. The truth is, when you want to prosper, the only way you can prosper is to find the word of prosperity and know and accept. You know, Peter said, to whom shall we go? He said, we have believed and have come to know. That is, we have come to a position of conviction. So when you find the promise of God, you believe and are convinced that Jesus paid for it so that it might be yours. That's your key to prosperity. Everything you do after that is a sign that you believe. Therefore, you can't understand that and then be sowing a seed to get a car. That is a result of smoking Indian hemp. If Indian hemp is not in your culture, you shouldn't do things like that. Because you have believed that anything you want, Jesus has paid for it. So when I want to give money, I give money because Jesus paid so I can give money. I don't know whether you get my point. It's a sign of my faith. I give, not because this is the way, give that, you know, as they go, so they go multiply and somewhere return unto you. That is called the labor of selfishness. And I, the Lord, I always check what is inside the mind before I decide what to do with that seed. I hope you are following what I'm saying. So this is how Christians live life. That's what I'm trying to explain, the work of Christ. We know that Jesus came and he paid to make those promises ours. That was what he did. He said these things are not of any effect until the death of the testator, until the person who made, you understand? Let's quickly read it, all right? Hebrews chapter 9. I'm going to read from the book of, let me just say something. I'm going to read what they call the Young Literal Translation, all right? Just to bring out something. From verse 16, it says, for where a covenant is, the death of the covenant victim to come in is necessary. For a covenant over dead victims is steadfast. For it is no force at all when the covenant victim liveth. Now, I wanted to bring that word covenant victim because most of the time when it's being translated in most scriptures, versions, it makes it look as if the people who are making covenants have to die first. It's not the people. It is the Young's Literal Translation here. It is the covenant victim. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's it. That is what dies. Now, what am I saying? So when God gave promises, they were not of any effect until Jesus, who was the Lamb of God, was killed. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, he said, whence not even the first part from... Now, if I keep on reading this one, now it's going to really... The English is really one kind. Let me just leave it there. He was trying to say that even the first covenant, all right, was initiated, all right, upon the shedding of blood. The emphasis here is this, the covenant of God, now which he made, don't forget this, from the beginning when he said to Satan, all right, the seed of the woman will bruise your head. That is all the problems of this life that Satan brought in because of this temptation and sin that followed, all right, they will be destroyed when Jesus will come. So what God was doing before then was that he kept on uttering, he kept on uttering, he kept on uttering, he kept on uttering. And all those utterances, they were recorded and they were kept. Most people who wrote them don't even know what they were talking about. Then there's what the Bible calls the consummation of the ages. That is one age, when one age was ending, that a new one might begin. Jesus came, he died. What am I saying again today? So that all those promises may be valid in your life. So, am I believing God for prosperity? It's simple. The Bible says that God delights in the prosperity of his servant. That's a good one, isn't it? So I read that, and without, you see, you know, I gave an example where I was teaching over the last few days. He said, what is faith? Faith is simple. You are eating now. You are eating. Let's assume you are eating pomo. You know what they call pomo? Show boy. Uh-huh. So you are eating show boy, and then as you're about to bite it, that they cook the very nice soup, they use it to lace here and there, and the doctor walks in. I said, what is that? You're eating show boy. Don't you know it destroys the teeth? As soon as he says it, the next bite is softer. Are you serious? Yes. Statistics have shown that for every 15 bites into show boy, one tooth is lost after 1 year. Now, you know what I'm telling you is not true, all right? So, you're here halfway now. You'll go home now and say, no more show boy in this house. No, that's not what I'm saying. No. But the point is this. You know how you respond when you hear the word of a doctor? Are you getting my point? That's what faith is. That is, as I'm talking like this, I'm uttering the word of God. There's nothing special about it. How do we do this? No, as it's coming forth, just be accepting it in such a manner that if you have to make decisions tomorrow, you will put that statement in mind. The same way you won't bite that pomo again. Once you are sure what that doctor or dentist is saying is correct, are you getting my point? That is, once you hear it, a lot of times they are lying, you know. You know, doctors tell us. They don't know it's a lie. They are deceived also. We do. I mean, let me tell you one that will make you laugh. Wait, I say it all the time. Global warming. Anytime I watch it on TV, 99% of it lie. What did I call it? Pastor Frank, is a globe not warming? It's warming. I know. But why is the difference between you, me and most people? I have read enough to know it's political is manipulation of the general psyche. That's it. There's enough historical record to show that the world always goes through cycles of warming and cooling. Of warming and cooling. Let me just stop there. Let me not stay there and develop it somewhere. Let me just leave that one there. Just to explain the meaning of the word faith. So as the word of God is coming to you, that's what I'm trying to say. As it's coming, you're just hearing it, and it's affecting the decisions you make from that day. That's what faith is. And that is what actually liberates you. I said something the other day, that you must never make fear a habit. Remember I said it? They tell you, the shrines have gathered to use your blood for sacrifice. If you get up at night to pray against them, you are their victim. You know, last time when I was speaking about it, I said, if you really have faith, what to just do is, get away, I have work to do. That is real faith. What did I call it? That's not being fatalistic. Let the worst that will happen, will happen. No, the worst is not going to happen. The worst that will happen has already happened to Jesus Christ. They've already arranged to kill him and drink his blood, except that he chokes them. Yeah, they've already done those arrangements. Because the Bible says if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It shows you that they were there, arranging. So I know that, so I just accept. Look, somebody tells me, the shrines have gathered to use your blood for sacrifice. So get away, my friend, when did you join home video? You know that kind of thing. Like I'll send those people, I say, I won't even tell my wife, lest I be tempted to pray. I won't say it to anybody. You tell me that kind of thing, say, my friend, get away. And that's it. That's the end of it. It's dead. I won't think about it. Why? Not because I am a fatalist. Oh, I don't believe in spiritual things. I know. I am convinced. The scriptures have testified that I'm seated with Christ Jesus above that level. That's what faith is. Let me get back to the message. Just by the way, all right? That's what, just drop that. So what I want to say, why did Jesus come? So that in his death, all the promises of God will be guaranteed you. So when he makes a promise about long life, it is not as if you walk towards long life. Oh, please, you must understand what I'm saying. You just accept that Jesus died so as to make long life your portion. You are getting what I'm saying? That's it. He said, let me go and jog so I can live long. No, let me jog so that while I'm living long, I'm going to live long whether I jog or I don't jog. jogging does not guarantee long life. Eating vegetables and uncooked food, drinking spices, abusive juices, all those things don't guarantee long life. No, listen. That is a matter of fact. They don't guarantee long life. Those that really live long don't know. They just live their lives. And of course, we know in Nigeria, generally, today we are praying, amen? And God is answering, but as of today, what kills most people has nothing to do with whether they ate or did not eat. It only has to do whether they had an accident or they were shot. That's all. Which one of these has to do with their diet? If you are in a car and they squeeze the car, squeeze you, join. Do they check whether you ate vegetables or ate cooked meat? If you go to a place, you are not a believer, or the angels of God don't have any special interest in you, and Boko Haram bomb goes off. Who checks over, are you fat or slim? The bomb blows everybody the same way. Thin man, pieces. Fat man, pieces. The only difference is, one, you see bone and flesh, one, fat to be joined to the collection of bone and flesh. Death, they are both dead. You get what I'm saying? So, Pastor, I say we shouldn't joke. I'm trying to just warn you ahead. If it's so that you can live long, forget. You're going to die soon. Not you. You can't put your faith in those things as believers. What is your faith in? With long life, I will satisfy him. Do you get the point? That's my faith. With long life, that is, long life is a gift. So, are you going to jog? Listen, I will jog because as an old man, I want to be able to move around. But I want to live long. You get my point? Jog or no jog, I'm going to live long. But it's good to live long and be, you know. I mean, the other day I saw one man on TV. Oh, God, that was so nice. Listen, they said the man was retiring from marathon. I've forgotten his age, but if I remember when he was 90-something, 92, he was running his last marathon. And when I saw the pictures of him running, and I now saw the life, that is the movie pictures that is on TV, the man was, you know, you think marathon, you think like this. No. That man will outpace a young man. Now, what surprised me was I didn't start. You know, you have thought, okay, he's been running for how long? He was young and all of that. No, he started running in his 70s when his wife died. They said because of depression. So they encouraged him to start running. I think it was 60-something or 70-something when he took up running. One day I saw a man on TV. I think it was 80-something. I thought it was something or 90-something. And he used to jog up the hill. I said, in the name of Jesus, that is my portion. That is my portion. I know this is how I used to do it. I was watching like this. Long ago, I saw Abika Dabri. She was being drilled by a man who fought in the Second World War. You know Abika Dabri, who's now a legislator? When he was still doing this night program, Sunday night program on NTA. Newsline. She was a reporter for Newsline. And this man said that he knows when he was born. He is a Yoruba man. So he said his mother told him he was born either the year before or the year after the Ajakale Arun. And that is, there was one, that's Yoruba word for epidemic. But there was one epidemic that raged that time, and it was influenza. So he used that to point his age, and we realized this man was 80-something. And he was doing Abike Dabri, left, right, that he fought in the Second World War. I say, ye gilu, father. I'm going to live long one way or the other, but I want to be that age and be that fit. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. That's why we do things we do. If you think it's a guarantee for long life, you're about to die soon. What is a guarantee for long life? It's a promise. That's what I'm trying to talk about. It's a promise. With long life, I will satisfy him. And Jesus said, that's you. Amen. He said, who is it, him? It's me. Who is it? It's me. Who is it? It's me.
Why? Simply because Jesus said, anybody who will believe in me has passed out of death into the life where things like this are his and hers. Jesus didn't come, he didn't die to found another religion. He died so that the promises of God will be legitimately yours. So he can beat your chest. And I'm going to say, that's written for Jerusalem. He said, that was what Isaiah thought. That was written for Judah. He said, Jeremiah thought so. How do you know? Peter said so. That these are the things inspired by the Spirit of Christ. And it's for those who are of Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? And I am of Christ. How are you of Christ? Because I have believed. And that is what Jesus came to do. To take those promises of God and make them legally, legitimately yours. Let me say it to you again. This life is a battle of words. Everybody is seeking to control you. That's what they're trying to do. Feeding you with all kinds of information. And you know, we don't realize it. We have been bought by medical information and CNN information. You understand? And National Geographic information. Scientists have found out that all those who work 2 hours a day allow you to live to the age of 90. Let me tell you another thing, so that you balance it well. Because I said it before, when we were talking about these things, people say that, but those things are true. You see, life has levels. They have realms. There are those who live purely by the flesh. I'm preaching this evening to those who live by the Spirit. That heard, amen.
Amen.
You live by the Spirit. That whatever scientists found out, they found out concerning those who are under a curse. I said, was it here I said last time? That be careful when you are reading business books. Many of them were written for those who are not blessed. That is, as we are starting this book, I declare to you that you are under a curse and this world is rough. Things are difficult. You have to take yourself up by your bootstraps. Nobody's here to help you. You have to be a man of your own. You see, heavens only help those who have helped themselves. And they fall and you say, amen, amen. Say, good, now sit down. We are going to teach you how to labor under the curse that's over your head. He said, thorns and thistles it will bring. But we are going to teach you how to weed the thorns and the thistles. Now, there is a principle of laboring with the sweat of your brow and eating bread. Today, you are going to eat plenty of bread. And all the ignoramuses will shout, amen. Now, how are we going to get the plenty of bread? We shall sweat some more. Everybody says, sweat some more. Sweat some more. He said, he did not say we will not eat bread. He said, we will sweat. So right now, I have come with infusion of enough water. The more you sweat, the more I put water into your body. But it has to be by your sweat. And we'll be there in the business books, buying it. Yes, give me 7 Laws of Power by Steve. Steve Coven wrote this one. This one, you'll be packing a go home and be cramming the ways by which unbelievers and sinners prosper. You get up and come to church. The power of networking to this message. Thinks that is the only way by which a person that has been cursed can eat bread. Again, my message today, Jesus said that is not your portion.
Amen.
I dare to say very few business books that are worthy for Christians to imbibe. That's why I recommend books like Business by the Book, R.G. Lutono, Mover of Men and Mountains. I recommend books like that. I recommend books like Mary Kay's, what's the name again? Miracles Happen. I recommend books like that. Because listen, miracles are a part of your life. No, they are a part of your life. It doesn't mean that you are just walking on the road. The star just came up and exploded. Oh, and dollars spawn. Japanese yen was raining. That's not what they call a miracle. You know, I was reading, there's a book I'm reading right now. It's a story of Isaac Newton. And I discovered something. I was in the bathroom. As I was stepping out, something just struck me again. It wasn't the first time. I said, genius is an inspiration. I don't know what I heard I said. Yes. That is, I was reading the story of Isaac Newton. I said, this man could not have thought this thing up by himself. He came from a very poor background. He said he described the movement of oceans. The man who wrote the book said, I doubt whether he ever saw an ocean. That the man described how, that before there's a French school that says that the moon controls the movement of the oceans. And that when the moon is close, pressure from the moon pushes the tide down. And when the moon is far, it kind of pulls the... But as Ignatius came and said, it's the other way around. That when the moon is close, gravity from the moon pulls the ocean up and the tide is high. And he was right. And that man said he had never seen the ocean. Now, why am I using his life to describe something? You didn't go to school, you'll be a billionaire. Amen. Miracles are a part of your life. That is, it doesn't mean that you're just going on the road. You're just going. Dig. Gold. I see gold. Praise God. The Lord, just as I was going, the Holy Spirit just said dig, and I began to dig, and gold just came out. No. You did not go to a business school. Yet, you will sit down, analyze. That is, God will just give you insight. You'll be looking at things that everybody else can't see. Are you getting what I'm going to say? That's what I call miracles. Let me say it like this. Expect a miracle.
Amen.
In your field of endeavor. Because let me tell you something about miracles. See, I'm digressing, but let me just say it. Eh? To you that it's being worked in, you don't even think it's a miracle. It's just normal. It's called grace. To you, it's normal. They say, that fellow is a genius. The way he reasons, the way she brings things out of hidden corners. Tell you what is wrong with them. This is supposed to be normal. That's what I mean when I'm talking about miracles. Now, you're not the one that tonight, all of you are poor, just do your hand like this. It's about to rain. They'll be gathering dollars from falling from heaven. If he falls like that, it's counterfeit. Say, but God is the one that sent it. It doesn't matter. He printed dollar, he printed naira. It's a lie. God is not allowed to print. Pastor Banky, what do you mean? Are you limiting his power? No, he limited it like that. That printing must be done in Minting and Printing Corporation of Nigeria and signed by Sanusi Lamido. Sanusi. It's not done like that. Or somebody they contracted is not valid naira. You've heard of those funny jokes. People tell you that they caught a child and put weed on his head and did incantation. And then he was vomiting money. Now home video be that. What did I talk? What did I talk? Any such money is counterfeit. You can't spend it. Just to help you, I say it doesn't happen. What happens? I know men go into a cult to get money. What happens is favor. There's a spiritual principle called favor. That's what they are trying to get. So where 10 people bid for a job, they always get it. They violate the contract, they get it. Usually it leads them into satanic circles. They are very common in Nigerian businesses and politics. Jobs that could have been done for 1,000 naira, they did for 10,000 and they get paid. That's why you see those men can't do you favors. You have not joined. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. Yeah, that's why they can't. They can't do you favors because you think that they're being wicked. No, there's something inside this. There's blood in it too. There is. But for us as Christians, there's a way it works. But something similar, I want to explain. God doesn't just pour things your way like that. He pours ideas. He pours favor also into your life. Your own favor is not of inflating contracts. It's been so good that Pharaoh will send for you anytime.
Yes.
Your own favor is being so good that Nebuchadnezzar will have to dig you out from wherever you are. That Nebuchadnezzar's wife one day will come and tell the son, you've sacked Daniel, and now you have a handwriting on the wall. Your company is about to collapse. There is a man in whom the spirit of the gods dwell. Insight, understanding, and the solving of difficult problems will be found with him. That's what I mean by expect a miracle. That kind of miracle there is not written in any business book. It's yours because of your faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
What am I saying? This is why Jesus died. He died to ensure that these promises of God, they are yours. I hope you've gotten my point there. Let's now comment on the other one. Is that 53? Comment on that and then we close. We've read it, so no point reading again. You find out something that he talked about the fact that he bore our infirmities and he took away our diseases. I want to explain something quickly about that because Christians must expect. Let me just say something. You know, a friend of mine was ill the other day. And
The doctor saw him and he said what they were going to do and all of that. He called me. He said, what do I think? I said, no, don't bother yet. Come, let's see first. Then he saw another doctor. And that one said, ah, thank God the other ones didn't do what they wanted to do. That you'll have had to live with the pain all your life. I said, both of us agreed, number one miracle. Then he now described what he was going to do. So he and I thought and prayed about it, and we came to a conclusion. Listen to this. I'm a doctor. You understand what I'm saying? Don't think I'm an ignorant person. I'm a specialist. I know book well. I have trained many specialists. I'm not kidding about it. And many people who want to be specialists are under my training. So what I'm telling you, I know it. My friend and I looked at it and said, listen to this. We said the power of God is as tangible as medical intervention. So I said, having considered everything, I think we just stick with the power of God on this one. That the pain that will go with following these guys, that's my friends, my colleagues, we both agreed it would be too much. So we joined hands and prayed. Now, what I'm talking about is that, and we believed that the power of God had entered in there, and we just left the matter there. So he called the doctor and said, sorry, I won't be coming. And the doctor said, no problem. Just let me see you in 3 months' time. Let me assess you again. And I actually want him to go back in 3 months' time. Because I know that the power of God has gone in and is doing something. Why did I say that? I want you to know that it is real. It's not what else can we do now? You know, say, they go shush. So we just have to try and pretend. No, it's more of, you know, there's something the Chinese people used to do those days. I don't know whether they still do it. You know Chinese medicine? That's what they call Chinese medicine. You see that ginseng. All those ones they are always selling to you. Ginseng. So that's part of Chinese medicine. Acupuncture. That's part of Chinese medicine. Now, people said it worked. I don't know whether it works or it doesn't work. I'm not even commenting on it. But it's believed that it works and it's good. So what some Chinese hospitals used to do those days, I don't know what they still do it now, is that you come to hospital on your right, and normal doctors, the way you and I know them, those who do pathology, you know, pharmacology, surgery, medicine, all those kind of things, they are there. Row of offices. On the left, there are natural Chinese physicians. They are there. So when you come in, somebody sees you, try and diagnose your problem, and it gives you the options. If you go to this side, Dr. Zheng Jun is there with acupuncture needle, ginseng, and other rutabaga. You know, they have roots like that. Baobao leaves, shark fin, all those kind of things where they don't concoct together. If you go on this side, they have paracetamol, rosefin. You understand? They have all kinds of narcotic agents to use to make your head correct when you're in pain. They have all kinds. So which one do you choose? Now, I'm trying to bring up something. Nobody was angry with the other. They just looked at each other and said, this is your acupuncture. I don't know how it works, but apparently it works. Another one said, why do you use all those needles and co? He said, it works. Okay, so the patients come and they give the patients the option of choosing one or the other, believing that both of them are good. I'm not explaining to Christians using that concept again for you to understand. It is proper and appropriate. If they said, okay, the third row is for faith healers, people who know how to pray, people who lay hands on the sick, those who cast out demons from afflicted areas, they're on that side. Which one do you want to go? And all of them, fine, according to your faith. I want you to know today, I just feel like dropping that. It's a valid, this is not the best way to explain it, but let me just stick with that so as to make my point clear. It's a valid option. He said, that's how that man believes God and he died. Come to my office. You will see those who believe the doctors and they're all dead too. There are plenty. And this is my conviction. There are more. The annoying part is that when you believe God and die, you tend to die complete. But when you believe my colleagues and die, you're in pieces. I'm telling you, they've dug up here and they've radiated your soul. I'm telling you. When you come near the gates of heaven, they have to use scanner to see how much gamma rays is emitted. I'm telling you, these people. What are you saying? Both groups of people have died. And I'm telling you, honest kidney, that is, nothing is wrong, yet they treated and died is commoner with the physical doctors. I have seen them issue wrong results and cut away parts that are healthy. Yes. I told the story of my friend who said, he called me and said, "Banky, I just killed somebody." He said, "Doctor like me." "You don't know, we have a right to, we have his license to kill. You guys don't know. You guys don't know. You think we'll only make alive. I'm telling you, better don't, just pray to God. Just pray to God." What did I say? Even when you are going to those hospitals, pray up. What did I say?
Pray.
Hey, you didn't hear me. What did I say?
Pray.
Thank you. I've seen a doctor that opened a book and said the dose of the medicine according to the book. And he did according to the book. Gave the child one injection, the child died. The other came back and said, "What happened?" He said, "That's what the book said." I said, "Yeah, yeah, you went and used the book. Ah, that's white man's book. That's white man's book." we just, when they enter the hospital, they say, "Praise God, we are safe." You are not safe. You are not safe. Safety is better. Know that too. You think it's only Agbero that smoke? Some of those guys wearing white coats. You don't know what they use that morning. They got cocaine rolling around their brain when they are looking at you and jabbing you needle. I'm not saying they're all like that, though. But there are a lot like that. Oh, not only in Nigeria. You say, "Eh? That's why I like to go to America." Ah! It's a spirit. They are waiting there, too. Medical errors is on record. It's one of the major causes of death in America. There's a story in Mangato when we were in school. A man came with a hernia. Just a hernia. Not a hernia. Just they quickly correct it. Except that they took him to the wrong theater. And the young doctors they wanted to do chest surgery. They thought it was their lung cancer patient. So the big boss was coming. So we do it like that. So the young boss was getting ready to say, "Oh, guy is coming. Let's do the small ones before a guy arrives." They cut the skin, move the ribs back, move it back, clamp, cut away the rib, remove. They look down. The lungs are very normal. Say, "Yeah, this boy doesn't have lung cancer." At that point, the big boss walked in. He said, "Sir, there's a problem." He took a glance, looked at the lungs. 30-something-year-old man. I said, "Can I have the films?" They put the film on the screen. He looked at the films, looked at the lungs, said, that cannot be this patient." Then they quickly checked. "Yeah, this one, a young man, the patient is supposed to be 60-something. So they quickly, sorry. They begin to sew the man together again. There was only one problem, which was why I heard the story. They wheeled him to the ward, he died. In London. Where?
London.
Safety. 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 As you say, "I want to go have my children abroad because the gynecologists, they are very careful." I just say, "Look, you're just sorry for your soul. If you want to use that style to collect money from your husband or people who love you who have money, I'm on your side." You understand what I'm saying? You want to go and look. It's good. But if you think, "I'm going to have my children abroad so that I give them another opportunity in life." Listen. You know where I'm coming from, where I went to preach? It's a place where a lot of people have a lot of money. So one woman came and said to me, "Pastor, I want to ask you a question." She was pregnant, you know. Yes. He said, "I want to deliver. I was thinking of going to deliver in America. But my husband said we will pray about it." For them, it's not money. I said, "Madam, I'm a husband too. When we say we will pray, it's a nice way of saying no." I said, "We don't pray about those things. It's when we don't want you to do something, we start saying, okay, let's go and pray first. When a man has to pray, he don't want to do." He said, "Actually, I suspected so because he was telling me that his cousins or maybe his nephew, that one committed suicide in America or somewhere in London. He said he was not saying, if only if he was not born there, then maybe he would have come home." Do you get that? I said, "Madam, are you still praying about this matter?" join your husband. Born your pikin here, nice name. If you are looking for good hospitals, they full Nigeria plentily, bokuli. They're all over the place. So I was talking to my host, the main host. He said, I don't mind my colleagues. He said, they say, you give your children another opportunity in life. I said, which opportunity? Let me just drop it for you. If you like, have your children in Botswana. If you like, go to Mali. If you like, go to London, Sydney, Australia, United States, anywhere there. I have no problem with it. Now, as you won't burn your pekin. Now, your pekin, no be my own. Amen?
Amen?
But let me tell you something. Don't deceive yourself. No child with a British, American, Australian, or Canadian visa has a 0.0001.1 advantage over the one born locally. None. 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 Fat lie. If you like, go born under the sea. I have no problem with it. But if you are deceiving yourself that you want to give your children the opportunity to have American citizenship so that later on in life, if that's what you want, better go and give them Chinese citizenship. That one is better. Trust me. I know what I'm saying. But the truth is that nobody has any advantage over anybody. You are not giving them any opportunity. If anything, you are giving the opportunity for confusion in life. That's why that woman was telling me, say, hey, maybe that's why my husband doesn't want me to go. I said, madam, you know me, I'm a husband too. One will begin talk like this. The answer is no. Just like you women, you know, go won't take that no easily. So we are trying to be nice. So we want to blame God. So we say, let us pray about it. Say, so when I finish praying, I come and say, sweetheart, as I was praying, my spirit, it's not me, it's my spirit. You know I love you. I want you to go and born in America, but my spirit not agree. And it's not just my spirit, just the spirit of God that came to wake my spirit up. It's not me, you know, it's God. So do you want us to disobey God? He said, no. Uh-huh. So you know me and you are together, it's just God. You know, it's God. That kind of thing. The husband will now hug and finish. Call Yimu for your head. What I'm telling you is the truth. No, what I'm telling you is the truth. Is the truth. There is no bomb picking anywhere. Doesn't give. I just look at everyone else just running up and down. For those who have the money, it doesn't even bother me. It's those who borrow the money that makes me laugh. There are those who have the money. It's not an issue. Like, these are the ones that can burn under the sea if they want. They can burn anywhere. But some people, they are packing money together. Boy, I bet you borrow me this 1 million. I'll give you back. Why the next 6 months? Go to play small, small. What's happening? Madam, I won't burn. Ah, now 1 million they charge. No, you won't go burn for America. I will not lend you the money. If I had it, I won't give you. I won't join you in doing iniquity. In removing your eyes from God and placing it in a country that's backsliding. If I said something where I was preaching, because many people I was preaching to, they have their children all over the world. I said, you took your children to Harvard because of safety. And his roommate is homosexual, and you are not afraid. The whole hall was quiet. I was talking to people that many of their children, I saw they scatter everywhere. I said, do you know his roommate is homosexual? Listen, safety is what? Safety is what? I'm telling you the truth, though. Where did everyone start from? They're talking about the fact that I don't know what I was saying. Anyway, generally speaking, that's how I explain. We must recognize that the power of God is real. We must recognize that the power of God is what? Real. You know, the fact that Jesus died made the healing power of God available. I'll develop that next time. The fact that Jesus died did what? That's why we read from that Isaiah chapter 53. You see a number of things tied together. He died for our transgressions, for our iniquities, chastisement for our peace. The word peace in the Old Testament, don't ever forget what it means. That's why every day I say, put up your hand, the peace of God is in your hand. The peace of God is not just my bele kule. No. The peace of God is beyond that feeling. The peace of God in the Old Testament, when they greet you, they say,
Shalom. Muslims still say it today. It's the same thing. Salam. They say salam. Salam alaikum. You've heard it. The Jew will say shalom. Literally means peace. This is the interesting part. It's the same word they use for prosperity. The same word. What to call prosperity. In fact, let me teach you some Hebrew today. So when you read your Bible, you understand. When they use the word strength, it's the same word for wealth. When they use the word peace, it's the same thing for prosperity. That it has to do not only with just your physical well-being, your financial well-being, your total well-being. So the chastisement that brought us total well-being was upon him. The death of Jesus made total well-being available. It's so important we understand this. Like I was saying, don't make fear a habit. And the promises of God are out there. You must download them from the remote server into your own hard disk. Very important. All the troubles in life, God said, there is peace. The chastisement to bring you peace was upon him. So you should know that peace is available. If you activate it by faith is yours. One of my friends said something. You know, during this my trip, we're talking. He said, one of his colleagues, they're in an area where militant activity was quite strong. You understand my point? So the guy came to him and said, see me, see trouble. He said, what? Because of militant activity, I packed my whole family and took them to Abuja. Then Boko Haram started bombing. He said, Simi, what am I going to do? I said to the people when I was preaching, I said, listen, you must activate promises over those children. Rather than send them somewhere and say, let them go to America so that they will be okay. They will not be okay. I told you, I will talk bluntly. Let me offend you. Perhaps your head go rearrange. They will not be okay. Geographical location does not guarantee okayness. The chastisement for okayness was upon him. Activate the okayness to meet you wherever you desire to be. As a professor over those children, I said to them, I did not give birth to you for calamity. Because the Bible says you will not give birth to children for calamity. You want your children to be okay? Pray for them. You want your children to be okay? Prophesy upon them. You want your children to be okay? Pray for them. Teach them the word of God. Commend them to God and to his word, the word of his grace. You can't hide them anywhere to make them okay. There was a time calamity was in Israel, according to the word of Jeremiah. And then the people that were remaining came to him and said, what shall we do? He said, God now says, stay in this land of calamity. I will prosper you here. They said, na lie. Na lie. He wants us to die here. They have paid you now so that they will come back and kill the rest of us. That was how they gathered themselves. Jeremiah said, I'm warning you. God said, if you go to that Egypt, in Egypt you will meet your destruction. They went to Egypt to go and hide. Egypt was safe. Egypt was prosperous. There was only one problem. The same Nebuchadnezzar that pummels them had an issue with the Egyptians. So after they are settled in Egypt, he showed up again. And the Bible says he sought those Jews out and killed every one of them. In the place where they went to hide, in the place where they went to get safety. 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 The chastisement for his your peace was upon him. What did Jesus Christ come to do? To ensure that wherever you are, peace will meet you there. He came to activate that peace of God. That peace of God heals diseases. That peace of God guarantees prosperity. That peace of God guarantees all-round well-being. Accept it that it's now reachable for you because Jesus died to make it so.
Are you getting the point I'm making? We'll talk about that next time, because, you know, talk about the healing power, because you see, I'll just pick up from that. Before Jesus Christ came, healing was only available as a routine matter for the Jews. That is, before he died. So that when one woman came and said, my daughter is seriously vexed by an evil spirit at home, pray. Jesus said, it's the children's bread. We can't give it to dogs. That's what he said. Why? Because you see, there was a covenant God had with Israel. I am Jehovah, the Lord that healed thee. So Jesus came as that. And everybody that was baptized by John tapped into that anointing. So when the Syrophoenician woman came out of the covenant of Israel, she was not part of it, and said, please now heal my daughter. Jesus said, what do you want me to do? Is the children's bread. And the woman said, listen, Jesus said, we can't give it to dogs. Say, if dog is hanging around long enough, does something not fall down for the dogs? The woman had to come down to the position of being a dog. Accept that is with humility. With that, she connected with the grace that was in Christ Jesus. It was just a temporary thing, just for her. The centurion came, prayed for his servant. Number one, I suspect the servant was a Jew. But maybe he wasn't. But remember, he had to be interceded for by the elders in Israel. But after Jesus Christ came and died, Philip got up, went out amongst the Gentiles, and began to do miracles recklessly. Whether you believe or you don't believe, your personal problem. Just come here and get healed. After that, you decide whether you are going to believe or not. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
Before now, Jesus said, don't go out to the midst of the Samaritans. So don't go to anybody apart from the lost house of the tribe of Israel. But after that, his disciples got up, went amongst everybody, healing anybody they found. Why? Because when Jesus died, Jehovah Jireh was no longer Jehovah Jireh. That is Jehovah just for the Jews. Himself took our infirmities and our diseases. Behold the Lamb of God that took the infirmities and the disease of the whole world. His coming made the power of God to heal available. What did I say? His coming made the power of God to heal available to all. I should have added that. And this is no longer a doggy matter. You know, we dogs, no. It is now the children's bread, and we are amongst the children.
Yes.
We'll continue from that particular point next time. I hope you are blessed today.
Yes.
I hope you are blessed today. Just bow down your head and say, Father, thank you.